Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready to awaken to the truth of your soul? Welcome to today's episode of the Nadia Khalil Morning Show with your host, Nadia Khalil.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to today's show. Today is Monday morning. It's the last Monday in July. It's 7:30. At 2018, I can't believe we're going to be in August, and August usually goes by really fast. Talk about last-minute vacations and crazy things like that, and for today, I really just wanted to send out a prayer to everybody affected by the fires. They had fires in Greece as well. I mean, I'm not usually used to hearing about Greece having fires, but they did. And temperatures seem to be rising. We're getting, you know, regularly 114, 115 when it gets really, really hot. And I just experienced that in Arizona where you'd expect to feel it. But to have that in Northern California or to have that in Pasadena or something like that is a little, you know, crazy. So it's been a real crazy time. But you know, just a prayer out to all these people who just lost their homes in a minute. I mean, just no time to think or get past that. And just something to think about. And yet I think of every day in our lives that, you know, make every day the best you can. And sometimes those situations, they turn our lives around and they make them ultimately through getting through this eye of the needle of the issues that we are faced with. There's something about us, each of us, spending time with ourselves. It is the one thing that when I talk to people, the people who feel the most time with themselves, and some of them as much as time they need to spend with other people, because we're social people. When we don't spend enough time with others, we start to feel like we're lonely, nobody cares about us, or that it doesn't matter if we're dead or alive, you know, no one would notice. And we start getting into that kind of a thought pattern. And I hear that one a lot is, what difference does it make if I'm alive or not? And I say, well, you know what, it makes actually a pretty big difference. You know, when people start contemplating not being here, and that whole thing where you start to feel sorry for yourself and you're spending time alone, but the time you spend alone is spent feeling bad about being alone until you work yourself up into this place that you don't matter. And that's not the kind of time alone. This is conscious time alone where you're taking time out of your day to give yourself time, redevelop yourself, where your life needs you, you need you. And without you, and really think about this, without you, there is no you. And as silly as that sounds, it's so true. Without you, there is no you. So what kind of you do you want to be? And it's these things just, I can't tell you how silly they sound when we say them, but when we are not paying attention to ourselves, we've lost touch, and when we lose touch, our decisions get affected, the people we choose to come into our life did, the kind of jobs get affected, the way we dress gets affected, even the conversations we have in our head, instead of putting ourselves down, we kind of understand why we've done things. But the reason it's so important for you to pay attention to yourself is it gives you a chance to reassess what you've done in your life, why you've done it, why you're even attracted to it. Are there things in you that you wanted to do and you didn't start? When you give yourself time, you start to think of, hey, how could I plan that? So you reassess yourself, but you also reassure yourself, my days can be different. And when you take time to yourself, making change isn't scary or a big change. What happens is you just say, oh, today I'm just going to do this. And you don't really feel that you've done anything different. you give something time, you do something, you check something out. It just becomes part of your day. And when you can integrate new thought that way into your day, not so much a big bulldozer, a big change. Well, today I'm starting a diet. We all know that that doesn't work. We all know it doesn't work. I remember when I was a kid, when I didn't need a diet, I was fine. But everybody was going on a diet, so I wanted to go on a diet. So then I knew I was going to start my diet, like Sunday morning. My friend Sherry and I, we were going to start our diet, and she bought a calorie book, and we were going to decide how we were going to eat. And I go, wow, this is a lot of thinking to put into just eating. And all of a sudden, I'm counting calories, and I'm trying to keep my little notebook. We both had a notebook, and we were on our way. The day before that diet, more than I probably had eaten in my entire lifetime in one day, because I was going to start my diet the next day. And when I did that, I felt horrible. One, the day before the diet, I felt like just literally throwing up. I still remember the last thing I ate was like cheesecake. And we used to have this store called Poppin' Fresh, which became Marie Callender's, and then I don't know, it became something else after that. Poppin' Fresh became Baker Square. And you would go and they'd have this whole big glass thing filled with pies, and you'd get pie. And we used to get the strawberry cheesecake, and I made sure we got it because I was starting my diet, which defeated the whole purpose of my diet. Think about what I did. I took time to do something I didn't need because I was a kid. I was a teenager, but I didn't know enough to know enough about myself. I realized I didn't even need a diet, but I did it because my friend wanted to do it. And we did it, and it literally drove my system nuts. I tried to eat everything before the diet, and then we'd fall off the wagon and we'd do the same thing again. And I thought, this diet thing isn't really working for me. It's making me eat more, ultimately. Because I'm like eating as though, I'm not going to be able to ever eat again one day. And then the next day, I'm not eating and holding myself back. And normally, I wouldn't even care if I didn't eat. But because I was paying attention to not eating, now I wasn't eating. And it just was this weird mental trick. It was almost like, don't eat that chocolate underneath that glass, but then you break the glass and you grab the chocolate. So you have to really think about, why am I doing what I'm doing? I finally realized that I am way better off without the diet. And I couldn't tell you how quickly I took my notebook and just threw it in the trash. And I had to tell Sherry, if you ever want to be on a diet again, don't count me in. Do well with that. But there was another thing spending time alone did for me. I remember, being raised Muslim, I wanted to be a good one. Anything I did do my time or put my time in, I wanted to learn it. So I learned it, and I learned to pray, and I told this story a long time ago, but it's worth repeating. And I would pray these five times a day. And each time, it takes you about a half an hour. So now, that's a good 2.5 hours out of your day when you're a kid with homework and a job. When I was in high school, I was 17 years old. And I remember coming home from work. And I knew I did not have a chance to pray all day. So I had to, when you miss a prayer, you have to make them up. So I had some time ahead of me. And it was late, and I was tired, and I still had homework. So I ran to the bathroom. You have to clean yourself 3 times, your hands, your eyes, your face, your ears, your feet. everything needs to get cleaned 3 times. And then you got to rush in, stay clean, and start your prayer. So I get in and I start doing my prayer, and I'm up and I'm down and I sit down and then I start again, and this is for this one and this is for, and I'm making them all up and I'm rushing. And at the end of it, stand on the ground. And I go, God, is this really how you want us to be? This has made me crazy. And I rushed through everything. I didn't even think about what I was saying because I was so scared that if I didn't do this, you wouldn't love me. And then I said, before I did this, I felt like you did love me. Now I feel like if I don't do this, you won't love me. And I went from being free and loving towards God to being scared I couldn't do enough to please God. No sooner did I have that thought, which later I recognized, but that same feeling I had the night I saw Christ, I had that night when I was sitting there. I didn't know what it was, obviously. But I had this feeling of warmth and full acceptance. Like, ding, 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 hey, you got it. And I knew I was okay. And I didn't do it again to God when I felt like he loved me already. I ate better food when I didn't think about gaining or losing weight over it. There's something about our hearts and our minds comes out of us that tells us, hey, you know what? This may be okay or this may not be okay. In that alone time that we have. Ironically, that kind of prayer taught me that I wasn't a dog and pony show for God. I didn't have to go through fire hoops for God's love, that I was already loved, and I knew that without even knowing what I know now. Enough. I felt it strong enough to trust it. I used to, after that, instead of just, you know, worrying about being loved or not by God, I would long bike rides in our area and just going up and down the streets. There wasn't that far to go, but I would just keep going around in circles to think, because in my house, I was one of 6 kids, and we always had some uncle or aunt who was traveling, who was staying with us. And I would remember the times when people weren't with us as much as I would the times when people were. And I would have to leave for alone time. Or I would go in the bathroom and close the door and bring a book with me and sit on the sink, because we had like a long counter, but it was the only place to sit in the whole bathroom. So I would get up on there and sit and read a book, just to be alone. And I used to sit there and imagine how I could live in a space that small, because I just needed space. Times. I remember more than any other times in my childhood were the times I discovered things by the time I spent alone. And then when we get older, we get so busy that we may not have done that for weeks on end, and we start to feel scattered. We start to feel like we don't know what we're going to do next, and we can't wait for a day off to catch up. And then on that day off, we have a million things to do. But then we feel good that at least we're caught up when we go back to work or wherever we're going. moments of reassessing, reassuring, reconstructing, rejuvenating, reclaiming, all of these things. They start to build us, to be more of us in the lives we're living. Because at the end of the day, the entire reason that I even saw Christ, the entire reason was because far away from ourselves that we didn't even know how to come back. When I was told, your job is to bridge people's souls back to them, and every day that I can do a radio show, I talk about these subtleties that we can walk right by without ever even thinking about them. But then when you do blow it up and you do think about it and you do put it on the table and look at it and say, oh, wow. And then you try it and you're like, oh, it's double wow. Like, hey, make a difference. Somehow, after I saw Christ, I did need a lot of time to think because I thought I was crazy, but I knew I wasn't, but I thought I was. It was like I had to think I was to balance out what happened to me. And it was hard to tell people, hard to explain even to myself. And part of it was I didn't know yet what to do with it. But I had to spend a lot of time alone. Think it was this, and I think it was that, and I was going to go out and do this, and I thought, okay, well, now I got to write these books, and where am I going to get extra money to do that? I'm a single mom. I was doing well for a single mom, but to add all these expenses and to add all this extra entire thing, and I kept thinking, well, maybe if I do it right, it will take care of itself, or I'll have enough money to take care of me and the kids, and I won't have to worry about money all the time, blah, 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 and I'm going around in my head. And every single penny I had that I didn't even know I had, I went into my retirement. I went into every penny I had. I borrowed money, took loans myself, because in my heart, I knew I had to do this. It gave me an entire perspective about money. To me, money was pay bills, buy what we need, save what you can, and go on. And that's how I live. That's how we all live. But then all of a sudden, tire expense magnet on the side of me, of publishing, the time to write, finding people to help me. I need copy editors, I need this, I need that, I'm talking to printers, a whole job on the side of my life. And I never felt the weight of it because I had enough time with myself to understand why I was even doing it. Time factor. If you're married and you take time outside of the marriage, you go for walks by yourself once in a while, or you go for a bike ride, or you just sit and read a book, or you just sit and make a list of what you think you want to do, or how you even want to plan coming this Saturday. But when you do that, and you go back to your partner, you go back to your children, you go back to your job, you go back fuller, you go back calmer, you go back with patience that you wouldn't have had otherwise. And when you go back that way, you see things differently because you have been taken care of. And now you are ready and willing to help and take care of others. When we see people who have dedicated or donated money or time to other people who need it for whatever reason they may need it, those people have already taken care of their own business in some ways, in a way enough to be able to see past themselves. So when we see people who are giving of service, we look at them and we admire them, not just for what they did, even though that's what it looks like on the outside, in the back of our minds, we know that those people know themselves well enough to step outside of themselves to help others. If I did not get enough time to stop and think about what I was doing, I could never come to you and talk to you about it because I wouldn't know what I was talking about. What it is I do. I was walking around until last week. What do I call myself? How do I describe what I do? And I have a sister. The same sister I told you guys about that wanted me to fix her and got really mad at me, screaming at me on the phone a year ago in May. So now it's been a year and a couple of months. We didn't talk for months after that. Months. She was so mad at me. She was even going to my other sisters because there's four of us. So you could imagine how we can talk. Say, oh, you guys don't know the real Nat. Oh, you guys don't know her. She was so upset at me. She was bad-mouthing me. She was talking about me, and I heard it, and it hurt my feelings. But I never went back to her to destroy her anymore because I knew all she needed was time to herself to figure it out and not dump her life's work on me to fix. And she really challenged me. She made me feel like, wow, if I can't help my own sister. But as it turns out, she had to go through the entire process of knowing me. When we stopped talking, it took her about 3 to 4 months to just stop talking venom about me. To herself and to other people in my family. And then she started to hear the things I would tell her. And then she came back to me and she said, Nad, I get what you were saying. Because I fought her tooth and nail on some of the ideas she was throwing at me because they were things I knew weren't true. But she needed them to be true. And I told her that, and it made her mad. And there's some people, she's my sister, so I broke the rule, and it kicked my butt. But I would say, if you don't want the truth, don't ask me the question. She'd ask me the question, I'd tell her the truth, and I got my head sliced off for it. But after going around the block to cross the street, she called me last week. She sends me a text that was, she could have put it in an email because it was so long in the text, I had to keep scrolling down to read it. But she said, I know what you are. And she's known me, she's 6 years younger than I am. So I've known, obviously, her whole life, but she's also known me. And she'd seen me as a child. She's seen me as a young person. She's obviously known how I navigated with my parents and all of that. And I was the one who got in the most trouble because I couldn't understand why I couldn't do anything. I got in trouble in our community for the same reason. And it was for things like, you know, I wanted to know why we couldn't have a boyfriend, or I wanted a job. I wanted to work. Anything that threatened the control of the women in our community was considered trouble, so I was considered trouble. To the point where I had people come to my job and tell my boss that I'd better watch out or they will make an example out of me. If you could imagine. She came to me and she said, Nad, you're a healer. And then I had to think, and I go, wait, I heard that before from Christ. And I went back, because in Origins of Truth, Christ said, I will heal people just by telling them the truth. Because when we hear truth, we start to believe in life again. And I realized I was told it, and I wasn't ready to hear it, just like she wasn't ready to hear my truth that she asked me the questions of when I told her. And she definitely wasn't ready to hear her own truth. But when she took that time out for herself and realized that nobody is responsible for fixing her, because nobody can, because nobody knows each one of our own set of circumstances. We're all alike, we're all different, and then we're all alike again. But that different part is us getting to know ourselves, because that is ultimately why we are here. And today, no matter how busy you are, no matter what you have to do today, take a half an hour if you can. A half an hour. It's going to feel like a long time at first. But just sit down. Don't try to meditate or do anything. Just sit down with yourself, even if it's just in your car. And think about your life. Just think about your life. See what comes to your mind. See what comes to your head. See what starts playing around in your heart. Remember things. Project things. What would I like to see tomorrow or in my future? What am I doing today to make that happen? What did I used to do to make the things that have happened so far? What were the things that when I knew I was going to get to do them, I was so excited I couldn't wait to get started? What was the excitement I felt when I was first pregnant? What was the excitement I felt when I became a dad? Or when I got a job that actually made me enough money to support a family? I never thought that would be me. And it is who you are. What you've done, what you've contributed to the life that you have. Think about why and how you got motivated to certain things in life, and what attracted you, and what you really wanted to do. And there's people who come to me and say, I wanted to do that because I fell in love with the girl who was doing it. And then I found out I actually loved what I was doing as well. Win-win. Honor of sitting with yourself and taking such a beautiful look at who you are, at the best of you, in the things you've done that you did for other people, like dieting and praying or whatever it was I was doing. I took back that time to give myself the time to do what was most important, and that's to figure out what I'm doing here. You guys have a happy Monday. I will see you tomorrow. I love you so very much. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to today's Daily Dose of the Nadia Khalil Morning Show. To learn more, visit www.nadiakhalil.com.